Hebrews chapter number 2, let's look at verse 4, is that it? God also bearing them witness. If you look at the context, this is the great salvation which we've heard preached, which Jesus began to preach. And for previous verse says the apostles carried it on. And how many of you know we're carrying it on today? First began to be spoken in verse number 3, began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. How many of you know the gospel should be accompanied with signs and wonders? Amen. Somebody's life ought to be changing. And miracles ought to be happening. Both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. That word is literally different than the gifts of the Spirit. It literally means distributions of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about what is distributed to these ministry offices. Distributions of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of gospel I'm interested in. Not the kind, I started hearing about Jesus as Savior and got saved in a traditional church, but that's as far as they went. But I decided I wanted something more powerful. But notice this term here, he bears witness both with signs and wonders, and notice this, and with diverse miracles. Notice that term, with diverse miracles. Say it out loud, diverse miracles. What does diverse miracles mean? Diverse. What's the word diverse mean? Different kinds. Different kinds. So he's talking about there's different kinds of miracles. There's not just one kind of miracle. We know there's healings, physical healings in the body, but that's not really even a miracle. A miracle, a miracle would be like if somebody had cancer and they were healed, that'd be divine healing. A miracle would be if somebody didn't have a finger and it grew back. Amen. There you go. That's healing is the recovery of something from its, you know, disease condition back to its normal condition. That's the recovery of the body from a disease condition. But a miracle is putting something there that wasn't there. I remember a number of years ago, Pastor Debbie had someone on her heart in the congregation that was on a lot of medications. And actually, there was something, and this is not something to slam somebody. It's just that a person was born with something missing in their brain. Part of the, I don't understand all that. Physiological condition where something was actually missing. But through believing God, this person got off all these medications and was restored to that. Amen. Restored to whatever.
It was through special faith.
Yeah, it wasn't healing because there was nothing there to heal.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a finger, you can't say, God, heal that finger. It would be a replacement of a finger. So, but even in the realm of the miraculous, there's not just healings. There's not just miracles in the realm of the physical body. There's diverse miracles. Different kinds of miracles. So you read through the Bible, you can easily see this. Like whenever whenever God split the Red Sea. That's not replacing a body part. That's a different kind of a miracle. Isn't that right? So there's all kinds of miracles. There's miracles in the area of healing, or not necessarily healing, but the physical body, where things are restored. I believe before Jesus comes, we're going to see more and more people that don't have any legs. Legs are going to grow out. Amen. Missing body parts. God has, you know, you thought Napa had parts. God has parts. Amen. There have been records of people who, you know, you don't just believe everybody's vision of heaven, but some have been proven and are very scripture. You can read the Word of God. I like ones where I can think of, whenever I read that, I think of a verse, you know. But people's accounts that have gone to heaven, they've said there are actually storehouses in heaven with body parts.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Remind me at the end. I forgot. Thank you for putting the screens up. You reminded me by putting them up. I was supposed to show you something. I'm just not myself this morning. I'm just fat and happy this morning, you know. Amen. So God's got parts. But the splitting of the Red Sea was not something in that category of miracles. That's something totally different. There's miracles of the physical body. There's miracles of nature, like the splitting of the Red Sea is nature. opening, when Peter was delivered from prison, the angel opened the prison door. That's a miracle.
Yes.
Amen. But then there's miracles of provision.
Yes.
Jesus fed the 5,000 with, was it 5 loaves and 2 fishes or something like that? That's a miracle of multiplication.
Yes.
That was worked for the care and provision of God's people.
Yes. Amen.
And that is a very prominent category of miracle in the Bible.
Yes.
Say diverse miracles. How many of you know the manna from the sky for 40 years? That's a miracle. That's a long, that's an ongoing miracle. Longest miracle in history, 40 years long. And you see that all through the Bible. That we just read about Jesus telling them to cast their nets out. Or Jesus told Peter, cast his nets out. That's a miracle of provision. And you see that kind of miracle over and over and over in the Bible. God, doesn't matter what the economy is doing. You need to know there's miraculous provision. Supernatural provision. God can multiply the gas in your tank. If he has to. And it wouldn't affect the economy of heaven at all. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So this is one category of miracle that you see in the Bible. And then you see, like in the you could almost categorize miracles in different ways. We just mentioned the miracle of multiplication. That is, and we see that in the Old Testament as well. Remember the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil that didn't fail for a whole year? That's a miracle of multiplication. You could call that a diverse kind of miracle. How many of you know God hasn't, he hasn't forgotten the recipe for multiplying things? He knows how to multiply. Amen. Amen. I've heard many stories of people that didn't have the money to buy gas, but they were on an assignment for God, and the old gas needle was down on E the whole trip, and they got there. That's supernatural. That's a miracle of multiplying gas. So we could look at that category, but then there's a category that Brother Savelle was talking about last night, where you could call it the miracle of acceleration. Now, what is a miracle? What is a miracle? Let's define this before we go any further. The miracle in the Bible is defined as a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. And God specializes in that. Amen. That's why I don't mean to be uncaring about other people. Don't misunderstand me. I want the economy to be good for other people. But I'm almost giddy at what's going on right now. Because we're going to see a whole bunch of miracles. That's what we're going to see. I am not uncaring about other people, so don't take that wrong. But what I'm saying is, the worse it gets out there, the more we're going to see the glory of God in our lives. There's going to be a more and more distinct... who the people of God are and who the people of the world are is going to become more and more distinct. If you read carefully in the book of Exodus, where God brought Israel out of Egypt, the Bible makes this statement a number of times. It says, King James translates it two different ways, but it says God made a division between the children of Israel and the children of Egypt. I think one time it says a difference or something like that. But if you see that term a number of times. In other words, God separated his people from what was happening in the world. He separated them out. These are my people, and I'm going to care for my people. What about the people of the world? They can get in. You know, when it comes to the modern day, they can get in through Christ, through the new birth, just as much as anybody can. To see the care of God, to see the provision, and even the miraculous if necessary. I mean, think about the water out of the rock in the desert. Things that happened and the supernatural deliverance from battles where there were 3 or 4 times outnumbered. You could just list miracles over and over and over again. But so the word miracle means a supernatural supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. Nature has an ordinary course. There are things that ordinarily happen certain ways. Like, take for example, the sun normally comes up and at an even pace continues to rise and then fall until evening. And that's ordinary. It happens every day, except one day.
One day.
Come on now. Joshua was in a battle,
yeah.
And they were winning, but they needed more daylight.
Yeah.
And he, by the spirit of special faith, you can't do that in your own faith, but by special faith, he said, "Sun, you stand still there, and moon, you stand still there."
Yeah.
And the Bible records that the sun and the moon stood still.
Yeah.
For I forget how long it said, and then it went on down. He finished the battle.
Yep.
Hallelujah. That's not the miracle of acceleration. That's the miracle of slowing things down.
Yeah.
But it's the same category.
Yeah.
Same category. The same. You see, miracles fall into categories. So the ordinary course of nature would be, you know, the ordinary way things are done when everybody's hungry would be to, you know, get some money together and go buy everybody some food. But Jesus said, no, just bring that 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he blessed it. He thanked God for it. He blessed it. See, that's what you got to do. Somebody said, well, I need this and that. Thank God for what you have. Thank God for what you have. Hold it up and bless it. Don't hold it up and curse it and say, I don't know why that's not enough. No, you hold it up and say, my God supplies all my need according to this. So he held it up. He blessed it. He thanked God for it. And he didn't just thank God for it. He spoke blessings on it. And his words, he took that bread and handed it to the disciples. And then they handed it. They each went to remember, he had them sit in 50s and groups of hundreds. And they all sat down. And the Bible said that they handed it to somebody in that, you know, and then they all handed it. I think every time it was divided, it multiplied. When Jesus divided it, it multiplied. When the disciples divided it, it multiplied. When the person took it and divided it and handed it to somebody else, it multiplied. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of miraculous multiplication there. Hallelujah. It's interesting that I won't get into that. I'll get off my subject. There's a lot there in that. You can read that in my book. A lot there in that miracle. But what about this miracle of acceleration?
Yes, sir. Come on.
Brother Jerry was sharing it, but the Lord's been talking to me about this for several months. I think since last June, I believe. And I've been, every now and then I'll get a little something on it and I'll write it down. And I had it all in a place, but I never had preached it. Well, he stirred me up last night.
Come on.
So let's just pop the clutch. What do you say? He said last night, divine acceleration is the supernatural ability of God to bring his will to pass at a supernatural rate that is impossible to man. See, that's the... The area of miracle we're talking about is the rate at which something happens. And this is found throughout the Bible. Listen to this passage. In fact, you might want to go turn to this. This is something that, you know, unless you read it very carefully, you probably miss it. John 6:21. John 6:21. This is something the Lord showed me just about 2 weeks ago along this category of miracle of acceleration. Anybody believing for miracles of acceleration? I'm telling you, some things have been taking too long.
Yeah.
That's not. I'm not accusing God. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying somehow we've got to hook up with this. Thank God. And we'll look at the passage of Scripture. In fact, I'll just mention it right now. There's a passage of Scripture that says in these end times, this is in Romans chapter number 9. Verse 28, he says, this, if you understand the prophet, he's taking it out of the Old Testament, and he's referring to it here in Romans 9:28. He says, I will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. When he says here, finish the work, he's talking about the end where he wraps everything up. Here, we're at the end where things are starting to be wrapped up. The Amplified says, the Lord will execute his sentence upon the earth. He will conclude, listen to this, he will conclude and close his accounts with men completely and without delay. Now listen, rigorously cutting it short, listen to that, cutting it short in his justice. That's a prophecy of the day we're living in. I said, that's a prophecy of the day we're living in. And that's the, notice, he's, oh, there's so much here. If you read this word here where it says in the King James, a short work, it doesn't just mean like a short period of time. It literally means a hastened work. That's literally what the Greek says. In other words, it's a work. In fact, the Amplified says cutting it short. Really, he's talking about things that were going at a certain pace. Just, he said, oh, let's wrap it up. And it's done. Amen. The Bible says in the time we're living in, we're going to see the outpouring of rain, two rains in 1 month. The former and the latter rain, this is in the book of, what is this, Joel, I believe. The former and latter rain, all in 1 month. Now, if you read the history of Israel, we know the term former and latter rain in the New Testament, but that term comes out of the Old Testament where they had, Israel had, you know, like we have seasons here, they have seasons, and in those days they had seasons, and they had two main rainy times. One was to prepare the seed for the soil. The other was to prepare the seed to bring it to maturity so it would be harvest.
Right.
And he's basically saying all that in here in this end time is going to be shortened to where it's all in 1 month. What normally takes, what, 5 months or four, whatever, I don't know how many. You know, they plant in May, harvest in October, sometimes November, right? Come on. June, July, August, September, October, 5 or 6 months. Normally it takes 5 or 6 months, just 1 month. That's the speeding up of things. That's what he's referring to here, speeding things up in the last days. You're going to see people, well, in the past we've seen people get saved, filled with the Spirit, and then start developing, growing in the Word and so forth, and over a certain period of time, they will develop into the and they'll fulfill the plan of God. But you're going to see that sped up. You're going to see people get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, call of God, and they're in a place where they can get their mind renewed much quicker, and things will just happen. And they can get into the plan of God much quicker. Everything's going to be sped up. So that's what he's talking about here. Really, time is short between now and when Jesus comes back. And what he's going to do, he's going to do a quick work. That means a hastened work. That's why he was talking about God being a God of patterns. And the way he started is the way he's going to end it. That is a biblical truth, that's what we're in for. That's the kind of miracles we're getting ready to see.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's time for the acceleration of all things. Knowledge in the natural realm is accelerating and doubling at a much quicker pace than it used to. But that's just a manifestation of what is happening in the spirit realm. Things are speeding up. Things are speeding up. Things are accelerating. Amen. And you're going to see it more and more accelerate between now and Jesus coming back. You better buy a seatbelt. Amen. There's a verse in 2 Peter 2:3. I know you're over there in, where did I have you go? Yeah, you're going to see that in a minute. You can just stay there, unless you want to turn to 2 Peter 2:3. It talks about judgment. 2 Peter 2:3 talks about judgment on certain ones that now of a long time lingereth not. Now of a long time lingereth not. Well, what do you mean? That sounds like it's contradicting itself. It's not. He's saying what has been for a long time lingering will stop lingering. Now, what is judgment? Judgment is just simply payout. It's just simply harvest on seed sown. Now, this is referring to judgment on those that had done wrong. And we know that the Bible says he'll bring, if you read Ecclesiastes very carefully, it's one of the last verses in Ecclesiastes, he talks about God will bring every work into judgment. How many of you ever seen anybody, it looked like they're getting away with it for a way long time? Don't think that's going to go on forever. Don't think that's going to go on. It'll come. It seemed like it was never going to come. And then all of a sudden, boom, it'll come. Because we're in the last days. Can you see what I'm talking about? And what was for a long time lingering no longer lingers. And he mentions the word slumbering not. In other words, it's like judgment woke up and all of a sudden said, okay, payday comes. So that's the day we're living in. Amen. What seems to never come, all of a sudden suddenly comes in the last days. But see, that's just the judgment side. What if we've been sowing to, remember, though the sow of the flesh, reap of the flesh, corruption. What if we sow to the Spirit? We get a payoff too.
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah. Remember what it said back there in Romans 9:28. I'm almost in John. But Romans 9:28 in the Amplified, the Lord will execute his sentence upon the earth. Listen to this. He will conclude and close his accounts with men completely and without delay. Before you close an account, you have to take out the money. In other words, before he closes all the accounts with every individual person, he has to pay out what is owed to them. Judgment or blessing? What if you've been sowing seed and faithful and supporting the work of God and being obedient to the plan of God, and you've been faithful to help the ministry and help the kingdom of God, and you've been pushing that forward and so forth, and it just seems like there hasn't been all the harvest that should come. Don't be deceived. Before Jesus comes back, that has to be paid out. And the closer we get to the end, it means it's going to have to happen quick. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Because he's running out of time. Because Jesus is coming back. So he's going to close all the accounts, but he's going to have to pay out what's owed. That's what the great tribulation is. Just pay out what's owed. They've been persecuting the righteous, hindering the gospel, working against the plan of God in the earth, and just seems like some of them just don't seem like they get any judgment.
Yeah.
Payout's coming.
Yes, it is.
Payout's coming. Yes. Hallelujah. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Just make sure you're sowing the right kind of seed. So that's why we're going to see more suddenlies in these days. Where the Bible talks about in the book of Acts over and over again, suddenly. If you read the book of Acts, I think it's in there 4 or 5 times. Suddenly. Remember there on the day of Pentecost? Suddenly there came from heaven a sound of rushing mighty wind. Whenever Peter and John were in prison, they praised God and worshiped God. And the Bible says suddenly there was a great earthquake. We had to learn what produces those suddenlies. Really, if you study the Bible in the book of Acts particularly very carefully, it's most all the time in the glory. In the glory of God.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, that's all free.
That's all good, too. Real good.
Remember, he mentions Amos 9:13 last night. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. If you don't know how their seasons work, that doesn't make much sense. The plowman overtake the reaper, that's talking about the time between seed. Because remember, the Bible talks about seed, time, and harvest. That's the seed, time, and harvest. Somebody said, I thought it was seed and harvest. No, it's seed, time, and harvest. It takes a time. There's a time between seed and harvest. They're going to plant corn here in a month or two. Let's see. Two plus. They're going to plant corn, and none of them plant corn and tell their friends, get a hard hat, stand back. Going to come up. Boom, there it is. Okay, get the combine out. Doesn't happen that way. It's seed, time, and harvest. And that's normally the way things work in the spirit as well as the natural. Seed, time, and harvest. But what this verse is saying here in these last, this is prophesying about the last days, this same principle we've been talking about. The time will come that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. And the that's a speeding up of time between seed, time, and harvest. And then he said, listen to this, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed. Really, they had two harvests. They had a harvest of grain and they had a harvest of grapes. They were at a different time. But he's saying, even that's going to be right up against one another, just on the heels of each other. That's a speeding up in these last days. Amen. I love what he did when he mixed last night learning to stand and not quit with this truth. That just blessed me so much, because this doesn't mean we don't stand anymore. We don't. It just means that such momentum, us doing that produces such momentum that these things are gathering, and our faith is gathering energy to where things are going to start happening. 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 We're producing, by walking by faith, we're producing a momentum in the spirit realm. Woo, glory. I'm happy. Glory. Okay, now, did you find John's Gospel? Chapter 6. Look at verse number 21. Well, I've got it in the Amplified. I better go over here and get it in the King James. I got a lot of other translations. John 6, 21. This is the Gospel. I missed this for a long time. This is the King James. It said, they will... Now, let me give you the context. This is whenever Jesus came walking on the water. It was a separate time. Verse 18, that's back up there. The sea arose by reason of a great wind and blew, so that they rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs. They see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Yeah. Yeah. But he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Listen to this. I missed this for a long time. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Now, you might read that and say, that doesn't mean what it looks like. Listen to these other translations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of you are getting happy.
Yes.
Come on. And it says in the Amplified, then they were quite willing and glad for him to come into the boat. And now the boat went at once to the land they had steered towards. The boat went at once. And immediately they reached the shore toward which they had been slow. Oh, my mama. If you don't have your Amplified open, you didn't catch that. Immediately they reached the shore toward which they had been slowly making their way. They were getting there. They were getting there. The one who works miracles stepped into the boat. The disciples blinked their eyes, and there's the dock. I wanted to see other translations because this was amazing to me. The Bible in basic English. And straight away, the boat was at the land to which they were going.
Straight away.
Just like that. Just snap your fingers and boom, they were there. Phillips' translation, at once, the boat reached the shore they were making for. I looked in commentaries and everything, and all the commentaries said that this was a miracle. I read this for a long time. And I just read over that.
Yeah.
I just read over that. But this is a miracle of acceleration. NLT? New Living Science. New Living, I believe. NLT says, and immediately they arrived at their destination. Passion Translation, the moment Jesus stepped into the boat, they were instantly transported to the other side. That gets all over me. You liking these translations? In a moment, this is Weymouth. In a moment, the boat reached the shore at the point to which they were going. Now, you read this account, they were out there in a storm rowing, and they weren't making progress. I don't know how far 25 furlongs is. I didn't look that up, but they weren't there yet. And they weren't making very good progress at getting there. But this miracle of acceleration took them there. Bam. You say, I don't know if that's possible. Well, there are... Let's take Philip being... He baptized the eunuch. And he just disappeared. And he was found in... I forget the name of the city they said they found him in. How did he get there? The Bible said the Lord translated him. Took him from one place. Now, think about that. He didn't just take him there in the spirit. His body went there. That's matter, materiality. All of a sudden, it was one place, and all of a sudden, it was over there. Brother Hagin prophesied one time. He said, there will be There will be a TV show, a Christian TV show, where a man's speaking. I forget the cities he mentions. Los Angeles and Dallas, was it? But anyway, he mentioned two cities. He prophesied this. He said the man will be speaking in one city. Maybe it was New York and Los Angeles. He'll be speaking in one city on the camera, and all of a sudden he'll be in the studio at the other camera.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Story was told years ago. There hasn't been a number of stories like this. Years ago about some missionaries in the, I believe it was in Africa somewhere. They were trying to get by boat from one place to another, and they hit this great big storm. And they, the story is that the, I think the daughter of the missionary, I might be getting some of this mixed up, but the general stories, I'm getting this accurate, that I think it was the daughter of the missionary got a burden of prayer. And how many of you know years ago you couldn't text or email or get in communication quickly? This was all by the Holy Ghost. The daughter over here in the United States got something in her spirit that something's wrong and started praying in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. People say, I don't know what the value of that is. That's just because you don't know, that's all. She didn't know what to pray, but she was able to pray for the unknown. She prayed that out and prayed it through to victory. And the story came later through letter that I believe it was the father, I can't remember, but some relative said that we were being blown by the wind into some coral reefs or something, rocks or something like that. And they said, we just dedicated ourselves to God and committed ourselves to His care. And they said, the boat lifted up off the water and sailed over the rocks and landed in the harbor.
Yes, it did.
Hallelujah. Without wings. Praise God. That's a miracle of acceleration. It's a miracle of translation taken. That's material matter being taken from one place to another. Wow. We thought we've seen the book of Acts. We ain't seen all the book of Acts yet. I like this. In a moment, Living Bible, and immediately the boat was where they were going. It was all of a sudden where they were going. New Young says, immediately the boat came into the land which they were going. So really, the disciples just blinked and opened their eyes, and they're in the harbor. Or up against the land they were going to, wherever they were landing. And they said, how'd we get here? I've heard testimonies of people that were driving and all of a sudden came up upon an accident. They didn't have time to stop and just cried, Jesus! And all of a sudden, their vehicle and they in the vehicle are on the other side of the accident continuing to drive. In the rearview mirror, they can see the lights. It's an accident. God's got ways of doing things. I don't believe that. Okay, just do without. I'm going to get all that belongs to me. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's what happened in this situation. They were setting out to make progress in the direction that they were supposed to go. But there was hindrance. There was delay. There was wind and adversity and so forth. And that was trying to push their boat or keep their boat from making progress or push their boat in another direction. And they were having to row and couldn't get there. So there's a lot of labor to get into something that they hadn't, that they were on assignment to get into something. Jesus was going to meet them over there. So they were supposed to go over there. And so the momentum of the progress towards where they were to go, you know, in other words, let's put it this way, the momentum in fulfilling God's plan was being hindered. You understand what I'm talking about? Everything was being slowed down by hindrance. Notice the progress was being slowed down. But this is a supernatural intervention of the power of God to where this ship, what was being hindered, lunged forward. Isn't that amazing? And all of a sudden they're there at their destination.
Hallelujah.
Do you know you can believe God for something in the area of finances, for example? You can believe God and believe God. And do you know that you can, like that, something can happen and that you're there? You're there. This has got to be, I don't know, we missed this. This has got to be one of the greatest miracles. A whole ship being taken in the middle of a storm through that storm. I don't know if it stayed on the water or if it came up off the water.
Yeah.
How many want to see that video when you get to heaven?
Yeah.
It was carried by God's power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the same thing that happened to Philip. He was carried by God's power to another city. Hallelujah. So immediately, say immediately. What was that? It was either a translation or a speeding up of, you know, in other words, faster movement. I guess it's the same thing, but either the material dissolved and all of a sudden reformed over here, or else it was probably just an acceleration. Can God do that for you?
Yes.
What's been slowly coming? Because you're using your faith? And you get in a glory cloud and get in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God starts moving in church. You get in the glory of God and you walk out of the church. Brrr, there's a phone call. There it is.
Just like that.
Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. Hallelujah. That's a miracle of acceleration. I remember the Lord said to me, we've never even got into it here at Spirit of Faith Family Church. But the Lord said to me, he said, because I started getting a revelation of divine prosperity. Whenever I said, God help. Remember that prayer? One of my shortest, but one of the most important ones I've ever prayed.
Amen.
I said, help, because I needed help financially.
Yes,
he said, first of all, before he started teaching me, he started helping me.
Yeah.
He said, your way's not working out, is it? He was looking for some humility. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And I had to say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Actually, no, Lord, it's not. I mean, yes, you're right. No, it's not working out. So he started teaching me, and we got into the Lord, somebody could accuse me of being money-minded. That's all right. The Lord was renewing my mind is what was happening. But the Lord daily started teaching me things about financial prosperity. I was so messed up in my thinking. I had never had my mind renewed in this area because of the way I grew up, you know. So I said, I would actually start out reading my Bible about something else because I didn't want to, you know, get lopsided with the Word of God. But I'd get to meditating on it. Within 5 minutes, I'm back on something. He's talking to me about prosperity. Just for a couple of years, just intense.
Yeah.
See, sometimes that's what you need. You need intense washing of the water of the Word. So he did that for me, and then he started talking to us, and things started changing and so forth. But here's my point. We got into such a flow, and the Lord said, I want you to start preaching this. I said, Lord, I don't want to be accused. People accuse people that preach this. They accuse them of being money-minded. He said, who's your judge? Are you going to stand before them and give an account, or are you going to stand before me? I said, Lord, it's you. I have to stand before you. He said, whenever, before you preach it, he said, you examine your heart. Ask yourself, why am I preaching this?
Yeah.
Am I preaching it for something for myself? Or am I preaching it because I want people to see freedom? This is the way he said it. Freedom and victory in the area of their finances where they've been struggling so much.
Come on. Yes, sir.
He said, once you get that settled and you're doing it for the right motive, then go preach it. And he said, if they accuse you of doing something for your own self or preaching it because you're money-minded, he said, then that's between me and them. I said, you got a deal.
Yeah.
I said, you got a deal.
Yes, sir.
So I started preaching it, and we preach it. I'm talking about traveling ministry. We'd preach it and get a little and preach it a little. And the Lord told me one day, he said, if you would get bold and preach it like you know it needs to be preached, he said, you would start to see financial miracles in the people's, in the congregations that you're preaching at. He knew I was holding back. So I said, all right. I said, all right. First time I said, I'm gonna take the full, I'm not just taking my foot off the brake, I'm putting my foot on the accelerator.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
And we preached it like a madman. That was, I forget how many services, 3 or 4 services in that church. Sunday night, the last meeting. No, excuse me, Sunday morning. I think it was Sunday morning. No, Saturday night, that's what it was. Saturday night. We were preaching and the power fell. I mean, the anointing fell. And people started, actually, I think I said something about, the people just started running around the room. And they interrupted my sermon because they're, you know, like you, they interrupted me. They just were excited about the word. You can get, I told Jerry Seville last night, I said, I couldn't hardly sit in my seat. I said, the spirit of faith you had on you.
Yeah.
He said, you can get so excited about the word, you can't sit still.
Yeah.
So I preached and they all took off running around the room. Stopped and interrupted my sermon, but that's all right. I got no use of that. I said, now, Lord, now what? Because I couldn't pick up where I was. I mean, it's just gone.
Yeah.
Time for the Spirit of God to move. He said, tell the people that ran around the room they got a financial miracle. Oh, okay, that'd be good. So I said that to the people, and more of them got in and ran.
Yeah.
Well, you're slow, but you're worth waiting on, you know. So I remember that was Saturday night. Sunday morning, we came in and got to bed kind of late, so I wasn't completely ready for the service. I asked the pastor if I could have another office by myself. I mean, we got to the building, but I asked to be by. Pastor Debbie and the pastor's son are out there and his wife, I believe, talking about and the pastors, I think, were there for a little bit, talking about something. And I heard them talking excited and I heard my wife excited about something. But I just wanted to stay tuned in on what I was preaching. Was that Saturday? It doesn't make sense anymore. But anyway, it was one night to the next morning. Anyway. But the next service, because I think there was a work day. That's why it's not making sense. I couldn't remember which day. But whatever it was, the next service, we got back, and this pastor's son told Pastor Debbie that he had gone to work that next... No, it was two evenings, I guess. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
It was the space of time.
Yeah.
But he said, I went to work today.
Yeah.
Came back, came to the service, and he said, when I went to work today, he said, my boss tapped on the, I walked by my boss's office, tapped on the window and said, come in. So he said, me? Yeah, come in. So he went in and he said, you know, I got to think, I was watching something on TV last night. This is when we were having our service. I was watching something on TV last night and I couldn't hardly watch it because I kept thinking about you and how much you've helped the company this year.
Praise God.
This is November, getting close to the end of the year. The prophets are being ready to be calculated. He said, and I can see a lot of prophets and a lot of it's because of you. He said, I want to give you a bonus.
Praise God.
He said, oh, thank you. Now, the man, the employee, the pastor's son, thought that he was talking, he was going to say that to everybody. But he finished his job, his work day, and came back by and the boss tapped on the window again. He said, I wanted to give it to you right now. I said, oh, I thought you meant maybe at the end of the year. He gave it to him right then. And he was looking around because nobody else was getting bonuses. He thought it was the whole company, you know, profit sharing or something, but it was just him.
Yeah.
He went out into the car, opened it up. You know how you are. Yeah, cool, man. You get in the car, rip it open. And he opened it up. It's $10,000. This is Canadian dollars. And the pastor's son came and told her and later told me. That he said, I was the first one that got that. You said somebody that ran got a financial miracle. He said, I was the first one.
Yeah.
I was the first one in the line. I said, well, you were the first one to get your miracle then.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Listen to the way the boss said that. I was watching TV last night. And I couldn't concentrate on it. I kept thinking about you and how much you've helped the company.
Yeah.
Probably an angel standing. This is an old cigar puffing, tobacco chewing guy. Watching TV.
Yeah.
And the Holy Ghost wasn't in him. He couldn't talk to him. But an angel could stand there and slap him around a little bit. Say, hey.
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, I don't believe angels can do that. Well, then why do you believe demons can do that?
Oh. Come on.
Come on.
Yes.
If demons can do that and put thoughts in people's minds. And you think angels can't do that? Poor old God. He's weak. He can't do anything like that. I don't like saying things like that, but that's the way people think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Do you believe in miracles? I believe in using our faith and standing. But I believe we're coming into a flow of the Spirit where the miraculous speeds things up. Praise God. So that's a supernatural. When Jesus was in that boat and it all of a sudden, it gets there. That's a supernatural intervention in the divine, I mean, in the ordinary course of nature.
Amen.
That's not the way things normally work. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. The natural pace of progression at a certain rate of speed changed. And all of a sudden, what they were laboring to get into, they got into. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's all through the book of Acts. Suddenlies are all through the book of Acts. Now go over to Psalm 91. We'll wrap this up. Oh, my goodness. It's only 11:30. Maybe we should go another 4 hours. You know what? It's only 10:30 according to my watch. I didn't change this watch. I changed all the clocks but that one. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Anybody know what Psalm 91:1 says? Are you sure you know all that's in that verse? How many of you know you can read something and you all of a sudden see something you never saw before? That's what happened to me a while back. I'll read this and show it to you. Psalm 91:1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of who? That's the King James, the Almighty. It's the Hebrew says El Shaddai.
Come on now.
You look it up in the Hebrew, El Shaddai. Anybody ever heard of that name for God?
Yes, sir.
El Shaddai.
El Shaddai.
Hallelujah. My God is more than enough.
Yes.
That's what El Shaddai means. But El Shaddai, it really means the all-sufficient one. And the point that the Lord pointed out to me one day was that word all. All sufficient. Say it out loud. All sufficient.
All sufficient.
All sufficient, even when nature doesn't have the ability to produce what you need. Not just able to do whatever nature can do. And as we go, we'll see this. This is actually the way, this revelation I'm getting ready to share with you is actually what Abraham got that sped up his. Whenever he was believing for Isaac. This is when Abraham got revelation of El Shaddai. What had been lingering for 24 years. Bam, all of a sudden happened. Within 3 months. But we'll get to that. I'm just simply saying El Shaddai is the God who is the all-sufficient one. All-sufficient means not just whatever nature can produce. He can supersede natural laws. To take care of you.
Amen.
I mean, that story of the person driving in the car and come upon an accident, and all of a sudden they're on the other side of the accident.
Yeah.
That's a God who's sufficient beyond what nature can produce.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
In order to take care of one of his children.
Yeah.
If God has to bend, suspend, shorten, or lengthen the laws of nature to take care of you, he can do it like that.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I like a story. Pastor Nancy was preaching from John 2, where Jesus turned the water into wine. Brother Seville was talking about that. Pastor Nancy said, that's a bypassing of the ordinary laws of nature.
Yes. Yeah.
Say that out loud, bypassing.
Bypassing.
Say it again, bypassing.
Bypassing.
That's bypassing natural processes.
Yes.
Brother Seville was talking about that last night. The natural process would take, what, 6 to 9 years or something like that to produce wine from grapes, from a seed to harvest, from good wine. So the power of God bypassed the natural process of how things happen. Pastor Nancy prophesied that to that some things were going to happen to Pastor Noel and his wife.
Yes.
One time. And they supernaturally, the supply came in for them to do what they had in their heart to do financially for their own lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We know a pastor in Russia. We were over there preaching a couple times, but one time I wasn't there. Another minister was there. And this pastor had been building a house in Russia. That's not always real common. People have a lot of apartments, but he was building a house. And it had been taking a long time. This minister that went over told me this story. He said, I went over there and he said, come see our house that we're building. So they took him over there. And this minister that told me the story walked in. And when he walked in, the glory fell, and he started declaring some things in the Spirit and speaking under that anointing that came on him. And he said within, I think it was 3 months, they had finished the house.
Hallelujah.
What had been a long time lingering, suddenly. I said, suddenly. I said, suddenly. I have faith in the God who's more than enough. Who's all sufficient. Now let's look at this back here in this story. Go back to Genesis 17:1. Say it out loud. El Shaddai is the all-sufficient one. All-sufficient means even if the natural laws can't produce it, God is the God. He's above nature. Now here in Genesis 17:1, it says, when Abram, this is very important, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Yes. Remember we just read Psalm 91:1. Yes. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now that's the same over in Psalm 91, it's El Shaddai, but here in Genesis 17:1, it's also El Shaddai. Until Abraham got this revelation. See, this is the first time God revealed himself as all-sufficient. Before this, I think I'm quoting the right name for God before this. They knew him as Elohim, I believe. If you look it up, it was God, Elohim, who created nature. That's who they knew him as, the God that created nature. When, as long as Abraham knew God as the God who created nature and, of course, put all the natural laws in place. Nature is governed by laws, natural laws. As long as he knew, that's the way he knew God. God had given him a promise of having a son, but there was no natural way for it to come to pass. Number one, Sarah was old, past childbearing years. Number two, even her younger years, she hadn't been able to produce children. Now, Abraham's an old man. He's drying up and withering away. Amen. Don't laugh. You're getting older.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to claim that, but anyway, I'll pass that by. So, God, he knew God as the God of nature, and as long as he had a promise, though, of a son, when there was no ability, Sarah didn't have any ability to produce a child. He said, well, if this is going to come to pass, he suggested this to Sarah one day. I think I'm going to have to go into my maid or your maid. It's amazing Sarah agreed to that. Amen. But she said, all right. So they had a son named Ishmael. And we're still suffering for that today. But God didn't, remember Genesis too, but Galatians, it talks about the son born of the woman, and opposed to the son born by the Spirit. Not talking about Jesus, in that case, it's a type of Jesus, but it's Abraham producing Ishmael, which was after the flesh, and Isaac, which was after the Spirit. Am I still in the right room? And so, until he knew God as El Shaddai, this is Genesis 17:1, he revealed himself as El Shaddai, the God who's all-sufficient, even if natural laws can't produce it. Until that, he could only see natural ways in which this could come to pass. When God said, I'm El Shaddai, look, it says, when he was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to him and revealed this to him. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
In other words, my sufficiency and ability goes beyond natural limitations, Abraham.
Come on. Yeah.
You're thinking naturally, and you only think it could happen this way.
Come on. Right.
Amen. Yeah. But I can intervene in the laws of nature.
Yes. Yes.
The laws of nature means the older we get, the less child production ability a person has.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
And so he said, I can intervene in that. And to cause my word to come to pass. Do you know, if he made you a promise, it doesn't matter if there's no natural way for it to come to pass.
Amen.
That does not matter at all. Until Abraham got that revelation, he was in unbelief. Am I making any sense? Amen. I can cause laws to work against themselves. He's El Shaddai. He's all sufficient.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
I don't know if you're getting that or not.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm the one that can constrain laws, speed up laws, override laws, the laws of gravity. I mean, take that boat. How did that get over there?
Right.
That probably came up out of the water, I guess. I don't know. It's defied gravity, maybe. That's amazing. Do you believe God's a supernatural God? I do. For one of his promises to come to pass, he doesn't have to have natural ability. He doesn't have, the laws of nature might not be able to produce it, but that doesn't mean a thing. What means something is, what did he say? Use your faith. Stay with what he said. Stay with what he said. Stay with, that's where that perseverance Dr. Seville was talking about comes in. You just stay with what he said. All right. Now, you read over in the book of Romans, the fourth chapter here. You read 19 and 20, Romans chapter number 4. The Bible makes it plain that at first Abraham and Sarah laughed. When God, both Abraham and Sarah laughed when God said, you know, I'm going to give you a son in your old age. Isn't that right? But that was before, and that's unbelief, right? That was before he knew God as a supernatural God.
Right.
Yes. He just knew him as the one that made nature. And so it makes it plain. Go over to Romans 4. Let's just look at that, because it's, unless you see it, it might get by you.
Yeah.
The Bible is inspired. Do you believe the Bible is inspired?
Yes.
When it says things, there's no filler in there.
Yeah.
Romans 4:19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body when he was about 100 years old. Say it out loud, about 100 years old. Can you get any closer to about 100 years old than 99? How old was Abraham in Genesis 17:1? When he got a revelation of El Shaddai? He's 99. That's about 100 years old. So notice it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old. So it wasn't until he was about 100 years old that he did this, considered not his own body.
Right.
Yeah. Whew, this is getting good. When he got to 99, that's when he got into faith and all these wonderful faith things. Staggered not at the promise of God, was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't do that for 75 years old. He got the promise when he was 75 years old. But for 24 long years, the thing lingered and lingered and lingered and lingered, and nothing is coming to pass. Not only were they dried up at 75, but now they're more dried up at 99. Sarah's 90 at this time. Well, that verse is important. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body when he was about 100 years old. He didn't do that till he was 99 years old. What switched it? What clicked? He got a revelation of El Shaddai. Well, I don't make enough money to really have what's in my heart for really come to pass. You don't, but El Shaddai has a way of getting it done. Somebody ought to shout. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being not, you know, or being fully persuaded, so forth and so on. But we see clearly that that didn't start happening until he was about 100 years old. Can you see that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You ought to get a revelation of the God of the supernatural. Way beyond your, well, I just don't have that kind of education, and I don't have, you know, people all through the Bible made excuses. Moses said, I stuttered. You know, people all through the Bible, Saul, just people that, well, why would they make excuses? Because they couldn't do it.
Come on.
That's right.
Do you hear that? They couldn't do it. But God takes people who can't do it.
All right. Come on now.
Just people who will believe.
Come on.
Just believe it. Don't try to calculate and figure it out. Just believe it. Well, how? That's not your department. Your department is, say, El Shaddai. That's how the God who, if he has to, he'll supersede the natural processes. However long it normally would take for this to happen, like the snap of your finger, it can be done. I believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of the word this morning? Praise be to God. So you got to understand, God had made that promise at 75 years old. But he didn't. For 24 years, that thing, that promise lingered with no progress. He gets to 99 years old, and God shows himself as El Shaddai. And if you study it out, within a year, the baby's born. How long does it take for baby to be? 9 months in the womb. So within 3 months. What had not happened for 24 years.
Come on.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Anything been lingering in your life?
No.
You got you. Yes. You get a revelation of El Shaddai, who can speed things up. This is the Lord said this to me. Oftentimes, is there, if divine acceleration is the result of a more perfect faith. Brother Hagin said for years, or no, excuse me, not for years, but for months, he had seen Mark 11, 23 and 24, especially verse 24 at first. He had seen that, but he wasn't making his connection. He would pray that and then he would check his body. Remember that to see if maybe the paralysis was gone. And if you read the whole account, he tells different parts at different times. That I read an account a couple months ago, maybe about a year ago, that said something about, he gave a lot of details how he would check his body and so forth and see if there was still paralysis, and then he started crying because it didn't work. But he said, I do, because he kept saying, because the Bible said there, believe you receive. He said, I do believe. But the Lord spoke to him one day and said, yes, you do, as far as you know. As far as you know. He said, the end of that verse says, and you shall have them. He said, you're checking yourself to see if you have it. He said, believe you receive it before you see that you have it. And he got it. What had been for a number of months, he had had that condition really for a couple of years, but what had been not making progress, within 10 minutes, he's up out of the bed. Hallelujah. He stood up. Remember, he grabbed a hold of the bedpost and stood up and said, I want to declare before heaven and earth, the devil and all the angels and God and Jesus, that I believe I'm well. He said something hit him on top of the head like warm honey. Why hadn't that honey hit him before? Well, you know, you just wait on God. That's what the Lord said to me. He said, well, oftentimes this divine acceleration is the result of a more perfect faith. Don't feel like I'm talking down to you. I've been there before. You finally get into something, you realize that didn't have to take that long. Hallelujah. Let's keep building the momentum. What do you say? Just keep. There's a spiritual law. There's a natural law that the Bible said over in Romans 1:20 that we understand God and the things of God by the things that we see. In other words, spiritual natural laws will show us some keys about how, excuse me, how spiritual laws work. Just remember, Jesus told parables. He said the kingdom of heaven is as if, and he would describe it by using fish nets and seeds and different things. And he would describe, he was comparing, he was helping people understand spiritual things by natural things. Doesn't mean it's limited by natural things, but it's like this. And that's what Romans 1:20 is talking about. We understand spiritual things by understanding natural things. Well, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he'll make a way of escape. No temptation such as that is every temptation you experience is common to man. Don't think you're special. Amen. Well, nobody's been tested like this. No, everybody's been tested like you.
Come on.
Mine's a special case. Yeah, special unbelief. Unusual case. Yeah, unusual unbelief. No temptation. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Not only is it common, what you're going through is common with all, it is common that every man also has a way of escape. Just as common. There's always a way out. Always a way out. When Jesus was tempted, tested, and tried in Luke 4, there was a way out. He had to answer. It is written. It is written. But anyway, I said that to say, these natural laws are understood, or spiritual laws are understood by natural laws. There's things to understand about the way of escape that you can understand by natural laws. I looked something up one day. I kept sensing there was revelation in that verse the Lord wanted to give me about escape. And he said to me, I kept getting this word, escape velocity. I'm like, escape velocity? What's escape of? I think I know what escape velocity is, but let me look it up. I looked it in Wikipedia. I looked it up, and it showed me an illustration of Isaac Newton's diagram of, I know we didn't come for a science class today, but I'm just going to, you're going to enjoy this before you go. Isaac Newton's, when he understood gravity and how it works, he talked about, he showed what, five projectiles would do if you gave them certain amounts of energy. Like a cannonball or something. You give it a little energy, it'll go, because gravity's working against that thing. You give it enough energy, it'll go up, you know, it'll drop down. You give it a little more energy, it'll go a little further. If you gave something enough energy with whatever, a cannon or whatever you're shooting, if you gave enough energy, it could get up to the edge of atmosphere where it escape gravity. And if you give it a certain amount of energy, it'll actually go into an orbit around the Earth. It can't totally get out into space because it didn't have enough energy to get out that far. That's what rockets are. All that energy they're burning, that's to get out of gravity. It takes a lot of energy to get out of gravity. And so, and then he said, if you give it more cannonball, more energy, whatever the word is, there's a elliptical orbit it can go into. It almost gets out there, but it gets pulled back. But he said, you give it enough, it'll go all the way out. I thought, that's what the Lord's trying to tell me about escaping, your way, getting your way of escape. You know what I'm talking about? See, that's a the way of escape is a little like something trying to escape the atmosphere. Do you know your problem has a gravitational pull on you? Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It has a pull. It's trying to pull you back down to where you were.
Come on.
But you got to learn to achieve escape velocity. Well, what's the source of the energy to get me out? The Word. Light that candlestick. Get you out of the orbit. You ever notice some people just keep going around and around the same problem? Not enough escape velocity. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible says over there in Ephesians, it talks about in chapter 6, verse 13 through 14, this is the Amplified, having done all the crisis demands to stand, to stand firmly in your place, stand therefore and hold your ground. Notice having done all that the crisis demands. Every situation you're going through has a certain, it requires a certain amount of faith applied to it, of spiritual energy to get to escape that thing. Amen. I'll just illustrate it this way. Sometimes men keep falling back into pornography or something. They haven't fully escaped that thing's gravitational pull. You understand that? Hallelujah. I want you to achieve escape velocity. Amen. I mean, just I grew up, you can stand up with me. I grew up with certain oppressions, bondages in my mind especially. And that thing tried to hold me in its orbit for a long time.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
So, and my wife pointed it out a couple times. She was kind about it, but she pointed it out. You go through these cycles of depression and stuff. I thought, well, I know where that came from. That came from where I grew up. I just got into that rut. So I started asking God for help and showing me how to renew my mind. And today, I can't even remember. It's been so long, 25 years or more probably, since I've really been bound by that. Amen.
Amen.
What did I do? I escaped.
Yes.
Let me read a definition of escape. I know it's just so simple, but it's profound, really. Listen to this. This is what escape means. It means to escape is a... It means to issue from or to get away from a confined enclosure. Hallelujah. To slip away, get away from confinement or restraint. To get away from capture, punishment, threatening evils or danger. Hallelujah. What's the point? Not being bound by those things anymore. Glory. I noticed But whatever, if I get a little lax spiritually, whatever I used to be bound with tries to come back. See, it's trying to bring me back into that confinement. So, but I'm learning to just keep it. I just where I'm totally out of its orbit. I'm going to the moon, man. Hallelujah. Or let's put it this way, into full liberty. Where I belong. Full liberty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise be to God, praise be to God, praise be to God, praise be to God. No more falling back into stuff. Well, yeah, I get around my relatives and all that's on them tries to get back on me. You can get to the place where it doesn't even bother you. You've totally escaped that orbit. That gravitational pull. Anybody know what that gravitational pull feels like? Hallelujah. But that, I didn't even get into it, but really that what that cannonball that Isaac Newton was talking about needed was the enough momentum. Say momentum. It needs to not only have the energy behind it, it needs to have the momentum. You know, momentum is just the ability to keep going regardless of resistance. And you can build up momentum. You've been seeing, Dr. Savelle talked about stories of how God's moved in his life. You hear stories how God's moved in our life, others' lives. And you say, I don't know if I could ever get there. There was a day they didn't have that kind of momentum. But you can get in a flow. Not just a miracle, but a flow of miracles. So what's your option? Quitting or continue to build the momentum? I'm going to continue to build momentum. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember Israel in the Old Testament, they kept going around the same mountain. That's the way people of God are so many times. They're going around the same mountain. Same bondage, same torment, same affliction, same. God wants to get you out of that.
Absolutely.
But he's got to have you mix your faith with the word.
Yes.
And then light the fuse. Hallelujah.